This is an Animal Planet podcast. Check out Discovery Network's complete podcast lineup at discoverychannelradio.com.
Hello, I'm Lyndall Davies. Welcome to a special program, Tsunami Animal Instincts. When the tsunami hit Southern Asia on December the 26th, 2004, it killed over 250,000 people and devastated the environment. It was a terrible human tragedy, but the animals that live here were also caught up in it. From pet dogs to sea turtles to elephants, each experienced the tsunami differently, but all of them were affected. You'll have seen stories on the news about animals that escaped or even helped people too. Stories about an animal sixth sense. But are these stories true? Did the animals know that the tsunami was coming? How do animals react when a natural disaster strikes? And what can we learn from them? Stay tuned for the answers to these questions as we explore a unique story. Tsunami Animal Instincts. It's just another day in paradise. Summer in South Asia. In a national park in the southeast of Sri Lanka, the morning sun beams down on a peaceful land and all its creatures. On a pristine beach in the south of Thailand, a little girl on Christmas vacation from England enjoys a ride on a baby elephant. The elephant's name is Ning Nong. In this extraordinarily beautiful corner of the world, a market is beginning to bustle as vendors prepare for the day. At this moment, there's no sign of the catastrophe about to strike. But somehow, the animals know something is terribly wrong. For no apparent reason, birds take flight. Other animals head for higher ground. They're all frightened by something. They don't know what's happening, but they know they have to get away. Minutes later, tragedy strikes, shaking the earth to its core. A lone man walking on the beach never knew what hit him.
Run, run! Ah! Help, help!
Deep in the ocean, at 8 a.m. on December the 26th, 2004, a massive earthquake measuring 9.3 on the Richter scale erupts with unimaginable power. The force of the quake launches a huge tsunami, a tidal wave that spreads with the speed of a jet plane. The swell races across the Indian Ocean, all but engulfing half a dozen nations. It will take weeks to count the dead. The total will approach a quarter of a million people, the worst death toll from a natural disaster in history. It was a terrible human tragedy, but there's another untold saga. It's the story of what happened to the animals of South Asia. Although many perished in the disaster, most survived. How, in the wake of such devastation, did the wildlife escape?
Soon after the tsunami, the overriding priority was to find the survivors and the dead. But although there were body upon body piled along the coastal stretch of Sri Lanka, we found that there were no dead animals.
I think a lot of the animals were showing signs that something was going to happen. We hear that, you know, all over the area of the Indian Ocean from different countries, people saying the same thing, that animals got upset. And we didn't even realize that that must have been a sign that something wrong was going to happen.
Did the animals have some kind of sixth sense that kicked in? Or was it more scientific, survival instincts in action? And once the animals recognized that disaster was imminent, what did they do? The exploration of these questions tells a remarkable and often poignant story. There's no doubt that the secrets of animal intuition have much to teach us.
Over millions of years, the animals have become very well adapted to getting information around them. Information is what they have to have. And they get it in very different ways than we do. And so they have to use other senses like sound or sensing pressure changes or touch. And that helps them cope with major disasters. They know that something has changed in the world around them, and they know what they have to do to be safe.
Some of the best examples of animal survival come from Sri Lanka, the nation once known as the Teardrop of India. In the 13th century, the great explorer Marco Polo called it the finest island of its size in the world. Although relatively small, Sri Lanka boasts enormous biodiversity. Its pride and joy is Yala National Park, a wildlife paradise.
One of South Asia's most respected and experienced naturalists, Dr. Gihan da Silva, has spent much of his career studying the more than 130 species of animal that live here. The day the tsunami struck, he was an eyewitness to what some are calling the animal's sixth sense. One of his colleagues was the first to notice the animal's alarm calls. It may be proof that in times of danger, all wildlife speaks a universal language.
One of the naturalists was having breakfast and he noticed that the birds in the entire lagoon took off. So clearly, although there were perhaps 15 to 20 different species, they could cut across the species boundary and communicate in a common language. It's almost as if every human being on this planet, all 3.5 billion of us, spoke a common language.
Even as the tsunami struck, animals seemed to have an advantage.
Another naturalist was fleeing from the waves when before him he saw a troop of monkeys called Hanuman langurs. As the langurs ran through the scrub forest, he instinctively knew that to survive, he had to run behind them because the monkeys would know the surest, safest, and quickest way through the jungle to high ground. I think there's something remarkably poignant that at a time when one's life was in the balance, that a human being should rely on the natural instincts of a troop of monkeys.
All over Yala National Park, animals reacted swiftly, giving them just enough time to save themselves.
One of our naturalists was one of a lucky few who managed to climb up a tall tree and escape the raging waters. And as he looked around, he noticed there were reptiles on the tree, lizards and snakes. Now, this is not entirely surprising because we know many reptiles, especially snakes, are sensitive to ground vibrations. So they had another sense, which we lacked, which warned them of danger.
Dr. da Silva has known about the fine-tuned senses of animals for years, but he'd never seen their survival skills tested right before his eyes.
People have always realized that animals are important for scientific reasons, for drugs, for recreation, for a whole host of reasons. But we never thought we had to conserve animals because we could learn the secrets of survival. There was almost an air of arrogance that we didn't have anything to learn from animals in terms of survival.
In Yala National Park, a few quick-thinking people were saved by watching what the animals did. But our next story is even more remarkable. Animals may have even come to the rescue. Chris Cruz has spent a lifetime on the water. Born in the Philippines and now a professional diver in Thailand, Chris felt he knew the ocean and its creatures about as well as anyone. It would take a tsunami for Chris to realise just how wrong he was. And what he learned that fateful morning may have saved his life. Chris set out at dawn with some tourists to dive off a string of islands on the eastern coast of Thailand. His vessel was part of a small group of boats heading to a spot where the water is crystal clear. The tsunami was already on the way when the divers received some terrifying news.
At around 8:30 a.m. on December 26, we heard radio reports from the mainland that there has been an earthquake in somewhere in Indonesia.
This was no typical storm at sea. Within hours, everyone knew they were in serious trouble.
Around 10:30, there were like heavy whirlpools forming around. Most of the dive captains said like, we have to get away from these waters. And everybody concluded like, we have never seen the water react like this in our whole diving careers.
Then, out of nowhere, the divers spotted a group of dolphins swimming toward them.
There were a formation of like five boats all together, and then like there were some dolphins jumping in front, and the dolphins were moving from one boat to the next. They were like all more or less like jumping, just like one after the other, jumping like that.
Suddenly, Chris realized this wasn't just coincidence. Perhaps the dolphins were trying to tell them something.
My heart was pounding and I realized like, hey, they're saying something to us. I signaled to the captain to please follow the dolphins. We realized like the dolphins were leading us away from the islands.
He'd often wondered about stories he'd heard as a child, tales of sea creatures coming to the rescue of people.
The Philippines, we have folklore stories, oral tradition stories of like turtles, dolphins, like whale sharks, like helping human beings when they're in trouble, when they're drowning, or like when there's a shipwreck, they're coming.
Chris believed the stories could be true, and it saved his life.
The dolphins were trying to tell us like, hey, what you doing here? Move further out. If we stayed very near the islands, then we would have smashed through the island.
Chris's experience that day may seem unbelievable, but it didn't surprise Dr. De Silva.
Also know that the dolphins are a social animal that goes to the distress of other species, such as humans. So perhaps they were alerted to danger and they want to alert us. Now, isn't there something very symbolic about this? Here we have the world's first truly international catastrophe, which not only cut across nations, but which cut across the species barrier.
Animals aren't really adapted to deal with a tsunami specifically, but because they have such good senses, they know it's coming long before we do.
Mike Hightouse is a marine biologist who's been studying dolphins and sharks from the Caribbean to Australia for the past decade.
You can't really see a tsunami coming, but you can hear it coming from miles and miles and miles away. You can sense changes in pressure and water vibration.
Mike knows that dolphins have an extraordinary ability to receive signals from their environment. It may have helped them detect the tsunami before it arrived.
Well, in dolphins, they can actually create their own sounds. They send out little clicks that go out into the environment, they bounce off objects, and they come back to the dolphin. And then they can form an image in their mind of what's out there. It's a lot like we use sonar to send out pings and get information back. And so we're trying to actually mimic what these animals have been able to do for millions of years.
It's as if an early warning system is built into the dolphin's anatomy.
Bottlenose dolphins have the same basic senses that we do, but they use them in very different ways. Vision isn't quite as important, but sound and touch are absolutely critical for them. They can hear sounds through a little ear canal, but they can also have sounds come into their ear through their lower jaw. Now, they don't just hear sounds in their environment, they also produce their own sounds. They can produce little clicks, go out into the environment, hit objects, bounce off, then they come back in through the lower jaw and into the ear. They can use these sounds to actually create a visual picture of what's going on in their environment. Now, touch is also really important for them. They use it both socially and to feel water current flows. And so having all these amazing senses helps them when some natural disaster is around, they know something's up and they can get to safety.
Sharks are equally impressive. They have their own personal radar system. Special organs in the head detect even the smallest electrical currents created by swimming fish, giving the shark a direct roadmap to its prey. Human senses aren't nearly as sophisticated.
And so this is just a way that we have no way of sensing our environment. So it's completely different. It's not mythical, it's not magical, and it's strong science. This is proven. This is one of their major ways they sense the world around them.
Many believe this ability saves hundreds of sharks every year when hurricanes threaten the coastline of Florida.
Here in Florida, the biggest natural disaster we usually worry about is hurricanes. And if you're in close to shore and you're a marine animal, you could get killed by a hurricane. And scientists have found that sharks can actually tell these hurricanes are coming, probably by the change in pressure, and they can swim out of the shallow waters into safer deep areas long before the hurricane gets here.
Gathering hard facts about how sharks react during natural disasters is virtually impossible. But we know enough about how they sense the world around them to make some good guesses.
They aren't sitting around like we are thinking, oh boy, the pressure's dropping, there might be a hurricane coming. They instinctively know when the pressure drops very quickly, the water's going to get really rough in shallow waters, and they move out of those waters into deeper areas. It's another example of animals being very well adapted to the environments that they live in. They don't have to think about it, they just react.
The days after the tsunami were some of the most horrific the people of South Asia had ever faced. Each day, the death toll mounted. Although the survivors worked non-stop on search and rescue, it wasn't enough. It was then that the people of Thailand turned to tradition for help. They turned to the elephants. They came from camps all over Thailand, some near the disaster zones, others as much as 9 hours away. The jungle echoed with the stomps of elephant feet as they and their mahouts set out on a heartbreaking mission. Step by step, they headed to Thailand's hardest-hit villages. When they got there, the elephants began searching the rubble, helping to find the dead and return them to their loved ones. In places inaccessible to trucks and cranes, elephants did the heavy lifting. They cleared tons of debris, allowing aid workers to recover bodies. In terms of brute strength, the elephants were ideal. But when it came to tracking survivors, they couldn't match the dogs. A special contingent of the King of Thailand's famous rescue dogs was brought in to serve on the tsunami front line. Dogs have been serving humans for centuries in disasters and on rescue missions, from the Swiss Alps to the streets of our major cities.
I think for hundreds of years, man has used dog for a lot of purposes. And that's been done for a reason. It's been because the dogs have been successful for hundreds of years. I think beginning in the United States with the Oklahoma City bombing and moving through the World Trade Center with some of the natural disasters we've had, dogs have time and again proven their value.
As a veteran police officer and canine handler in Montgomery County, Maryland, John Green understands why they turn to dogs to help in the tsunami rescue.
The dog is able to do things that a human can't do. The dog has the ability to use its senses in ways that humans can't do.
We've seen how animals saved lives and helped people in the aftermath of the tsunami. But there were also animals who were victims, and that's when people came to the rescue. It's only days since the tsunami struck. Manned by elite commandos, a Thai Navy vessel is on a critical mission across the South China Sea. It's one of the few boats in the area to have survived the massive waves, which tossed even the largest vessels around like toys and dumped some more than a mile inland. Today, these troops are headed to an isolated and desolate island, a secure base that has long been off-limits to all but the Navy. It's their first voyage to the island since the tsunami, and they have no idea what they'll find. Their assignment is no traditional military exercise. As well as protecting the nation's borders, the Thai Navy is also sworn to protect its beautiful sea turtles.
The Navy's duty is not only to protect the nation, but also to protect natural habitats.
The admiral in charge of this region cares deeply about protecting the turtles.
The Navy understands nature, so marine animals are our friends, especially the sea turtles. They're now so rare because too much fishing and tourism has really encroached on their territory.
Green turtles, which can grow up to 300 pounds, that's 136 kilos, are one of four species of marine turtle to nest here. All are endangered. To try to save them from extinction, in 1979, the Navy was chosen as the turtle's official guardian, and a turtle hatchery was set up on this island. After the eggs hatch, the Navy cares for the babies for 6 months before releasing them out to sea. In the wild, only one out of 1,000 baby turtles makes it to adulthood. A shelter like this increases their survival rate by 80%. The hatchery spent several years nurturing thousands of baby turtles until the tsunami hit. Naval units usually stationed on the island were forced to flee. As they come ashore, the men don't know what they'll find. What became of the turtles in the hatchery or the eggs buried in the beach? The tsunami was devastating for wild marine turtles. It's unlikely they sensed the earthquake, and they had no way to escape. Thousands were killed and injured when the waves tossed them inland. As the Thai Navy sets off to investigate the island, a lone crusader faces the same crisis in Sri Lanka. Kitsiri Kanangara is passionate about sea turtles and has spent a lifetime protecting them. Over the past 25 years, he's raised a million of these gentle creatures. He also keeps a few adult turtles for scientists to study. But unlike the Thai Navy, he does all this work by himself. When Kitsiri found out the tsunami was about to strike, his only thought was for his turtles. He knew there was nothing he could do for more than 5,000 new babies that he was about to release, let alone the 20,000 eggs ready to hatch. Frantic, he ran to the beach and grabbed two of the largest and most important green turtles. Heaving them into his arms, he struggled under their weight as he ran to higher ground.
Because when I faced that moment, I was not thinking about myself. I was thinking about the turtles. I knew I had a chance to save two turtles, because we needed to save every turtle we could. What would happen if they would have all been washed away?
Those who know Kitsiri aren't surprised by his courage. The turtles are his life.
People like Kitsiri are combining a livelihood as well as a moral crusade to save a species from extinction.
He's been battling the illegal turtle trade, land developers, and even government officials for as long as anyone can remember. The tsunami proved to be the toughest enemy yet. All his work, except one incubation pit for turtle eggs, was washed away. 20,000 eggs, 7 rare green turtles, and $500,000 worth of research equipment, all gone. But he isn't giving up. He's back at work, rebuilding, one turtle at a time. Meanwhile, across the China Sea, a small miracle has happened. The group's commander finds signs that at least some of the turtles have survived.
After the tsunami, a group of turtles was washed up on the mainland. I was helping take care of them. The ones that survived were put back into the ocean. Some of them died, but over 40 of them survived.
Every one of these eggs is a precious survivor. Back in Sri Lanka, a crew of volunteers heads into a remote region that no one has been able to reach since the tsunami struck. They've come to save the dogs. Pet dogs aren't common in South Asia, but there are hundreds of dogs who belong to the community, surviving on restaurant scraps and the generosity of villagers. When the tsunami hit, most of the dogs were driven out of town and are now running wild. It's a dangerous situation. Some dogs are injured and others are carrying deadly diseases, like rabies. All of them are hungry. To make it even harder, some dogs have gone wild, which means they're often vicious and very nervous around people. Headed by Sherry Grant, the president of Humane Society International, the team is in a hurry to treat the dogs. If they don't act quickly, the government will kill them.
If we can stabilize this population, especially in a disaster area like this where the food source is very, very limited, we will have a population of dogs that aren't fighting over food. By stabilizing the population, it keeps the panic away and it allows the community to rebuild and not worry about the dogs.
The rescue mission includes a vet, a volunteer squad of international dog lovers, and a team of artful dog catchers. They must catch the dogs in order to treat them. Some use nets, but some of the dogs are just too difficult to catch. The team resort to an ancient device, a blowgun. The tranquilizer in the dart sedates the dogs, making them safe to handle.
They see me coming and they know what I'm after, but if I can get to their side and get a good flank shot on them, if I can get them in the shoulder or in the butt, we want to hit a big muscle group. If it looks like the dart hit them really well, I'll start my stopwatch, count off 15 to 20 minutes. By 30 minutes, they're usually good and asleep, and we can just go out and pick up a ragdoll.
They may look wild, but most of the dogs come from communities that were destroyed. Now they have nobody to look after them.
We need to care about all animals. We need to understand that they are sentient beings. They hold a place in society. In this case, in Aragon Bay, these dogs belong to people, or they belonged to people, and those people are gone. And they need to be cared for.
Although Sherry's team must work as quickly as possible, they're careful to treat the dogs gently.
Well, this isn't really distress. This is just how they're talking. There's no pain to them. What it is they're frightened. It's an uncertain environment for them. They don't know where they're going. I guess if you were walking down the street of San Francisco and somebody put a net around you and put you in a car, you might have a little resistance.
Once the dogs are caught, they're taken to the canine equivalent of a military field hospital. Here, the vet examines them and decides what to do. When each dog finishes treatment, Sherry's daughter, Piper, marks the dogs so they don't get caught again and treated twice. Okay. After marking, the still sleepy dogs are released in the shade. We'll never forget what a terrible tragedy the tsunami was. But it also provided the opportunity to learn valuable lessons about people and animals. It turns out that technology may not be a match for animal instinct.
I think the catastrophe demonstrates that we are not as completely attuned to the forces of nature as we think we are. It shows that there are things we can learn from animals.
I'm not surprised at all that animals would have a reaction to an event such as a tsunami or an earthquake ahead of time. Animals are very in touch with their intuitive side. Humans have an intuitive side too, but I think it's sometimes clouded by our intellect. We tend to rationalize things and explain things away, where an animal senses something and simply reacts to it.